We just sang how sweet, how heavenly is the sight. And those that love the Lord and one another's peace delight and so fulfill the word. And it's a joy to me to see brethren come out on a Sunday evening for a Bible study. I know you're here because you love the Lord, but I also know it reflects an attitude towards your brethren, and that's good, and that's as it should be. Appreciate the presence of each one. Brandon talked to me in his prayer about changing times and how that can impact us, and we need to be alert. And that's really what brings this topic up tonight. A few days ago, I had read an article about AI, and the article was warning about the dangers of the incorrect information that artificial intelligence bots can give you. And so I thought it was a very interesting article. We'll have occasion to reference maybe some of that article in our class tonight. But what I did is I sent it to several preachers and several brethren that I thought might be interested. Sometimes you send something out like that and you have very little response, if any. But I had a number of responses from that one particular one. One of particular interest to me was from David Watson. I think all of us know David Watson. He's in Benchley. And because of the college there, of course, they've got a large body of young people in the congregation who are going to school and to college. So David very alertly had a class just previous to be sending out this article on this very topic of artificial intelligence. And so I thought that was very interesting, and he made some really good points as well. Mine's a little different tonight, but his idea was good, I thought. And we're going to borrow a little bit from what he sent me and add some other things as well. But hopefully it'll be very appropriate for the time. We've got a number of young people here. I wish we didn't have to lose them to college. But they're going to college and some of them in high school. And so artificial intelligence is certainly a tool that people are using more and more. And it can be a good tool, as you're going to see tonight. We've got some people here that are way, way ahead of me on all this stuff. You know, here a few weeks ago, one of our young men made a song, and Wally shared it with me. Mr. Neal, I don't know how he did it. He used AI somehow. And you'd have to ask him about it, but he made this song, kind of a country. I guess you'd call it country, or would you call it... Bluegrass song. Neat little song. And I don't guess you play a guitar, do you, Neil, or sing, but you made this song just using AI. And so these folks are way ahead of me on this. Anyway, I put out this sheet to the members. And so his dad, another one of these, these geeks, know this stuff. So he sent me a text. He said, I just entered this data into ChatGPT. ChatGPT is one of the AI bots. I think that's the right term, bot, isn't it? And so there's others that you can access. One's GROK, Grok. There's one, CLAUDE, I think, Claude. There's several. But anyway, so I think you used, what did you use? ChatGPT, didn't you? So he just entered that data, and he said, I'm going to see what slides. Say. I don't know what you told it, but you told it to make some slides, I guess. Is that right? Well, you're going to see the results of that. I'm not a big keynote guy. As you can tell, I don't always do too well. For every slide I put up here, the format, I guess, is mine because I just borrowed from the one I had this morning. But the text in each one of these slides is what Craig sent me in a text note. And so it shows what can be done in a good sense. I say all of that to say I'm not having this class because I'm thinking using artificial intelligence is bad. I'm not saying it can't have some very useful features if you're smart enough to use it. And that makes a limitation on me. But anyway, if you're smart enough to use it, it can be a useful tool. And so we'll be looking at some of that in the course of our study tonight. But the thing that does concern me is that it can be a very dangerous tool. So that's what this, what you see up there, what's on that slide, that's what I got off of Craig's text, based on that, what's on this sheet that you have. That's where you took it from, right? And so, artificial knowledge. And you see on your sheet something that's very similar to that right at the very top. And so it's, did I miss the first slide? Yeah, I'm way ahead. I can't even use the iPad, so I don't know how to use artificial intelligence. Let me get back here. Here we are. There we go. All right, now, that's the first one. Useful but dangerous. Now, that's, you can see that on your sheet. And I just entered that data. I mean, he gave me that, and I just put it in those boxes. And that's a very important concept. It's a useful thing, but dangerous. What about the Internet? Does that fall in that category? You know anybody's going to lose their soul because of the Internet? Several reasons. One, pornography. Illicit dealings. Pictures, those kind of things that are sent, lewd, stealing, scams, as far as morals and religion, false doctrine that is promoted. I use the Internet every day. So it's not a, I don't think it's a bad thing. But I also use knives. I use chainsaw now and then. Use a lawnmower now and then. All of which you can hurt yourself with. So we need to be aware that AI is dangerous, and those of you who are parents and have children in college or going to college or in school, you need to be in communication with your children about this tool that's made available. So we have on the slide the first thing, it's great for learning, but be aware, like any tool that has dangers. Now, it's artificial knowledge, so it can only answer what humans program into it. It doesn't have a soul of its own. It depends on programmers. Somebody entered data. They scraped the Internet with these tremendous computers and just put all this data in there, and this thing sorts it all out and answering to your questions. Look at Luke 24. And we have that there on the slide, I believe. And that's on your lesson, Luke 24, verse 25. And so Jesus is with his apostles. First of all, he's with the two men on the road to Emmaus. And they know that there's been rumors about the body is gone, the tomb is empty. Jesus is walking with them, but they don't recognize him at this particular point. You note in verse 25, he said, "O foolish men, slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." Then beginning with Moses, with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself and all the scriptures. Here are two men, apparently good men. They came a little bit later to understand Jesus was raised from the dead and went and told the apostles, two disciples. But if you'd have asked those men a question about the Messiah dying, what kind of answers would you have gotten? If you had said something about the Messiah being raised from the dead, what kind of data would they have given you? So if those kind of people, religious people, well-meaning people, were the ones entering the data, and you punched a question into your computer or your phone, was this man, Jesus of Nazareth, raised from the dead? What would their data have told you? No. No. And yet, what did Jesus say? Look, let's go back. You've had the data all along. It's in Moses and all the prophets about the suffering Messiah, that he was coming, he was going to die for the sins of mankind. Isn't that interesting? So, if with that excellent data, they could miss it, you imagine the data now that's put in by fallible human beings that's very limited in their data, especially if you're going to, you want to do a Bible lesson or you want to gather some data on a topic that's important. Just be careful, because this intelligence is not human. It's artificial. And so it's borrowing, scraping from all kinds of places, whatever data is available out there. Look at Matthew 27. Now, we'll talk some more about this in just a moment. An AI bot will cause itself to kind of correspond to the way you word a question. We'll show you that in a little bit. But here's a case in point. You've got some men here. Verse 13. Pilate said to him, "Do you hear how many things they testify against you?" So they were saying all things about Jesus. He's challenges Caesar as king. He's doing all kind of wrong things to our customs. All kind of accusations. He's a blasphemer. He claims to be God. If these guys, you say, "I don't know anything about you. You live in the first century. Maybe you live in somewhere else besides Judea, so you can't get down there." Say, "Well, I'm going to get my computer out. I'm going to ask Grok or somebody, who is this Jesus of Nazareth?" If your bot scraped up what these guys entered, what would you get? You'd get prejudice. "Well, he's a false teacher. He's blasphemous. He deserves to die. We're trying to get that accomplished now." That kind of thing. And so you see, as you look down in verse 18, Pilate knew because of envy they handed him over. That's what was behind these charges, envy. So you go type a religious question in a bot. Maybe you're studying your Bible. Let me see if I can get some help. It depends on where that machine got that data as to what kind of answer you're going to get, who it got it from. And I'll illustrate that further a little bit. But the fact is, when you're striving to get some other intelligence from some source to help you with an issue, artificial intelligence is just scraping whatever it can find. It depends on who puts what in. In Acts chapter 16, look at Acts chapter 16. So you say, you hear about this guy Paul. So there's Philippi. Let's say you live down in Thessalonica, Berea. You can't go to Philippi right now. You're a neighboring town. So I'm going to find out what's going on. I heard there's something going on over there with some guy that came to town named Paul or something. I'm going to find out what I can about this Paul. So you get in there and you type in for information, either by the internet or one of these bots. You say, "I want to find out some more about him." And so you have on your sheet here, suppose you ask these guys, why did Paul come to Philippi in the first place? I mean, there's been an uproar there, and apparently they've had him arrested and put in jail and beaten. What has this guy done? Well, here in Acts 16:19, here's the kind of data you may get. When our master saw that they wouldn't say this on themselves, but here's the fact. In other words, you wouldn't get the true data. When her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace before the authorities. When they brought them to the chief magistrates, they said, "These men are throwing our city into confusion, being Jews, and are proclaiming custom which is not lawful for us to accept or to observe, being Romans." Not so. But men enter the data. And it could be men like these men who have other interests. They don't mind slandering somebody for their purposes. This was a financial thing that was driving this. How many things that are on the internet and entering those boxes for financial purposes? You get so much for everybody that clicks on it, for example, that kind of thing. How much is it financially driven? I don't know. But there's money in all that stuff. Yes, sir. You have a comment?
Say I was going to make a comment for those who are either engineers or scientists that use programs and algorithms and such like, there's a common phrase that we use that kind of summarizes a lot of the points you're trying to make. And the expression goes, garbage in, garbage out. The garbage in can include not all the complete information. So whatever you put into it, it's got to be good information. It's got to be complete. So if you put in garbage in, it's going to be garbage out. So it's a pretty common expression in the engineering sector.
You've been looking at my slides, haven't you? Craig sent me that. It'll be on one of these slides, I think. That's a good point. Garbage in, garbage out. And so when you're using an artificial intelligence, it's not some person who's interested in truth, who's done the research and said, "Here's what I found as a result of my unbiased research." They may be unbiased, just ignorant. First point. They may be prejudiced. They may have ill feelings to whatever topic you're wanting to find out about, like religion. Suppose an atheist answers. Yeah, suppose you write in there and say, "What about the days of creation? How long were those? What do you think you're going to get?" It's that very thing we talked about this morning, see? So just be careful of that. Now, Here's again, I didn't word this way. Mr. Craig's bot did. And manipulated answers. But you have here on your sheet some of that that you see. So on the slide, you have biased questions, biased answers. So here's an example. And no, I didn't put this on there. This is what the bot returns to Craig as an example. Are you saved by faith only? Look at the two verses. Why those two verses?
They only mention believe.
That's right. And so, you know, Josh and I were talking this morning. Josh is trying to get us to be prepared to answer religious error. And he's trying to get us to have other verses at our disposal to show there's more to it, which is great. Appreciate him doing that. But these people will take those two verses. I did it on the internet. Here it is. And so, are they being dishonest? No, that may be all they know to do. And they may not be aware of the very thing that we got here, that the answer can be manipulated by what you put in it. And then the bot that Craig used had that last point in it, and that's an excellent point, that is, consider all Scripture. So I don't know how he gathers all that from what I put on here, but it did. And I didn't put that on there. That's interesting. And so, all right, here's another one. Yes.
So the AI program created these
slides? Created the words, not the slides. The slides are the backgrounds of the one I used this morning. But Craig sent me this today. I don't know if it was this morning or afternoon, but anyway, I said, you know, this would fit in perfect with what we're doing to show. I want to show I'm not against AI. And it can be useful. And the things can do a good job, but it depends on how you manipulate. See, he fed this data in. See? I'll show you what I'm talking about in just a minute. Anyway, so, there's what Rocky was talking about right there, that last point. See it? I didn't put that on there. Maybe Rocky went over to Craig's and put it on there. I don't know. Maybe it was scraping Rocky's website. But anyway, garbage in, garbage out. So, data can be omitted or added. So, what the bot said, there were some relevant verses left out. Well, you know those verses. Acts 2.38, believe and be baptized. Repent and be baptized. Acts 22.16, arise and be baptized, wash away your sins. 1 Peter 3.21, baptism now saves you. And so you leave that out, and you can get the conclusion, yeah, you're saved by faith only. You just leave it out. You don't have to say anything bad about it. You just leave it out. And a bot will do that. So, I did some experimenting. Well, I didn't. Wally and Todd did. Todd's not here tonight. And over the past, two or three months, I guess, there have been occasions to play with this bot on questions maybe I'm studying on or they're studying on. And so, Todd McAdams fed G-R-O-K, Grok. I guess I'm pronouncing that right. Anyway, that's a bot. I think that's Musk, the one that Musk made. And so he said, does the Bible teach that baptism is essential for salvation? We don't have time for me to read it, but it did a pretty good job of covering some scriptures, and when it got to the concluding paragraph, it said this, so does the Bible teach baptism is essential? It depends on how you weigh the text. If you lean on Acts and Peter, it's hard to dodge the idea that baptism is part of the salvation package. If you prioritize John and Paul, faith steals the show, and baptism's a bonus. Most likely it's not either or, it's faith expressed through baptism. But God's grace isn't handcuffed to a pool. The thief proves exceptions exist. So that's what it said. So, okay, baptism's okay, but now boy, can you imagine somebody using that phrase? You people chain Jesus' grace to a pool. Who wants to be guilty of that? But Todd asked the same bot and this question. He said, yes, Todd said, yes, it is essential. If you harmonize all the passages that pertain to being saved, you'll see that it's necessary. Try it. That's what he wrote to the bot. Oh, interesting how the bot did. And again, I'm not going to read everything he said, but really it's pretty interesting what they did. Started with Mark 16:16, went to Acts 2:38, went to 1 Peter 3:21, some other verses, and here's the concluding remark. This time, same machine now. So, the picture. Salvation by grace. Salvation's by grace through faith, Ephesians, expressed in belief, John, confession, Romans, repentance, Acts, and baptism, Mark, Acts, Peter. Strip one out, like baptism, and the chain weakens. Acts 2:38 and 1 Peter 3:21 don't mess around. Baptisms where forgiveness and saving union with Christ happen. Faith the root, but baptism's the fruit, proving it's real. The thief's a one-off. Remember a while ago it said it was an exception? No, it's just unusual. In other words, a one-off, not the pattern. The pattern's what counts. That's the harmony with baptism as essential. Every step, believing, repenting, confessing, culminates in the water where God seals the deal. On both of these, here's the last question, almost same wording. Does this track with how you see it? So you can reword it and put something else in. See? So you young people go to college and you got to write a paper, then how you word it. But you may have a teacher astute enough to say, you know what? They used AI. You may have done a lot of work, but you're going to get a C minus. And if I find out you plagiarized, you're going to get a F minus. We'll talk about that in a minute. So be careful of that. But we just want to bring those dangers to the forefront in using AI because we like tools. We use washing machines instead of the old, rinse washer. We use cars with automatic transmission. We like those things. It's okay. But just be careful. Yes, Don? Can you speak up a little? I hear you're in business world with marketing, okay?
Business world with marketing and the search engine optimization that goes with website traffic to get people to go to your website.
Okay.
There's bots included with that as well. I'm going to read a quote on bots with that conjunction that applies to this.
Okay. Speak up so everybody can hear you.
Marketing strategies
or user experience
improvement, inaccurate data leads to poor choices.
Okay. That it?
That's it.
Did y'all hear it? Everybody hear it? So, that's a warning. That's a business warning. Very thing we're saying. Inaccurate data leads to poor choice. Thank you, Don. So, does that mean y'all going to quit using them?
No.
You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful. All right. That's business. You can lose a lot of money. But we're talking now about your soul. We talk about using it in a religious context. Or maybe your college degree. Use it in college. Okay, so. Let's see. Alright, here again is what the bot gave Craig when he typed in the data on the sheet or entered that data. Created by fallible men. You see, I had that on here. That is created by men and therefore subject to error. I guess it went down and read my article. Because some of this data is in the article on the back side of your sheet. You notice on the back side I've got some quotes. And some of this right here, he took out some of that article. And so he said, AI is only good at its programming. And Don just read that business model. Experts warn your favorite AI chatbot is full of lies. That was the email that first made me send that thing out. It says, it's full of lies. I mean, this article's strong. Your bot will lie to you. And so be careful. And so then always fact check and see the articles on the back. We don't have time to read all that that I've got on the back. You can read it if you wish when you have time. But you see some of the bolded sections I've got. And some of that is the very thing that you're seeing on the slide. Your favorite chatbot is lying to you all the time. It says, you absolutely cannot trust anything it tells you. Boy, that says runs up a flag, doesn't it? Especially if you're talking about religion. Now, I have here on your lesson, shortcut, time and effort. AI is no substitute for careful, dedicated study using proper procedures and tools. We don't like to study. Most people don't like to get down and do studious study. I'm one of them. I'd rather be out mowing the grass. But I don't know how to get where I want to go without it. I don't know how to find the answer that I can rely on without it. But we don't like that, and so we look for shortcuts. That's why people sometimes rely on commentaries. I use commentaries, but try to use them judiciously, usually to see what the text doesn't say. Or if I'm doing something with the Hebrew or Greek grammar I don't know anything about, just like the quote I had this morning. So anyway, so in Matthew 12, go to Matthew 12. Look at verse 2. When the Pharisees, now, if you live in the first century and you want to go to somebody with a question about the law, who would you go to?
Pharisees.
They're the ones that are supposed to know the law. They're the guardians of the law. Right? But look what Jesus said. They saw Jesus' disciples picking the head of grain, and so they said, look, your disciples do what is not, what? Lawful. Hey, these guys know the law. They said that's not lawful to do on the Sabbath. Look at Jesus' response. Look at his response in verse 3. Look at his response in verse 5. Look at his response in verse 7. How does he start in verse 3 and 5? Oh. Have you not read? Hadn't they read? I bet they had, but not carefully. Maybe based on what their head teacher said, influencing their thinking. But look what Jesus does. Get your Bibles out, guys. You better go back to school. Spend some time reading the text. Same thing in verse 7. Now look, he said in verse 7, if you had known what this means. There's people today still don't know what that means. They're misapplying that verse. As people take this passage and say, mercy rejoices over authority. If it's a merciful case, you can violate the law. Jesus wasn't violating the law. His disciples weren't violating the law. That's not what Jesus is teaching. That's not why he introduced that passage. But people can quote that verse. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. And you're going to find very good gospel preachers that use it that way. I know, I've got their books in the library. So, what do you do? Well, I better get the book out and read for myself. I better compare all the passages that are relevant. I better look at the context. I better apply. Is there some kind of safeguard when I study to be sure I'm on the right track? Maybe some rules I can follow? Are there?
Context
and harmony. That's it. See what Jesus, over and over. Is it lawful to divorce our wives? Have you not read? Just over and over, that was his response. So, just be aware of that. Now, look at 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. So here is one of three letters written to preachers, like myself. Now, on their quote on the back side, it's very interesting. Let me ask you a question. Are all lawyers really knowledgeable and can be trusted?
No.
Absolutely not. Do all of them really know the law well?
No.
And look on your copy, on the back side of your sheet there. Down, oh, about three quarters of the way down, there's some highlighting. It's about the legal system. You see that deal about the legal system. And I've got something highlighted. These are big-time lawyers making significant, embarrassing mistakes with AI. Did y'all hear the news report here recently about the National Department of Health and Human Services making a mistake in some of the things they put out? Anybody hear that? What is wrong with you people? Y'all need to be listening to the news. You did, didn't you? They came out and kind of glossed it over. But this article talks about it. Look on your sheet. The United States Department of Health and Human Services issued what was supposed to be an authoritative report. How can you get more authoritative than that? That's pretty authoritative, you know. This is what happens in religion. How can you get more authoritative than my preacher who went to a college who got 12 years of learning, got a PhD degree? How can you get more authoritative than that? Well, here it says, the Make America Healthy Again Commission was tasked with investigating chronic illnesses and childhood diseases and released a detailed report on May 22nd. This is recent. He said, you already know where this is going, I'm sure. According to USA Today, researchers listed in the report have since come forward saying the articles cited don't exist or were used to support facts that were inconsistent with their research. There it is on your sheet. You think, boy, if it comes from there, you can depend upon it. The White House press secretary, here's how they framed it. Oh, it says, that was formatting errors. It is formatting errors. Oh, well. AI. So even if you're talking about your health, be careful what you read. So, you see I have on the sheet 1 Timothy 4. Look at 1 Timothy 4. He's writing this young preacher. He's probably in his 30s at this time. Look at verse 11. Prescribe and teach these things. Look at verse 13. Until I come, give attention to. So, idea is to be in it. We say, boy, are you really in it? That's what he's telling Timothy to be. You be in your study. You get in it. So give attention to reading of Scripture, exhortation, and teaching. Look at verse 15. Take pains with these things. Boy, it's a pain to study. Yeah, I go do it. Not fun. I'd rather be watching a movie or go and play golf or ball or whatever. Take pains with these things. Now notice that. Take that absorbed out. What's that little phrase? Those three words. Be in them. You know, maybe Josh has a kid. He's trying to, you know, teach him to play soccer. And the kid just kind of lollygagging around, running at it. Says, son, you need to get in the game. Right? That's what he's telling Timothy. Be in it. He said, so that your progress will be evident to all. Notice verse 16. Pay close attention to yourself and your teaching. But then he says, persevering. Don't just, not today. You keep doing that. And you do that, you're going to ensure salvation for yourself and for those who hear you. And so if a preacher's doing his work, he's filling his well all the time. He's studying, he's reading, he's thinking, he's marking, he's reexamining what he thought he knew. But that's work. That takes time. And it's like I've told guys I've worked with, young guys I've worked with. You're doing your work, you're going to spend some day 6 hours studying something and blow it all in 15 seconds in the sermon. That's okay. You're confident, you know what you're talking about now. Not because you read it in a commentary or Brother Haley's book or Brother McGarvey's book or that kind of stuff. So, that's right. Linda made the point here that 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit. So they were cautioned about false teachers, as Linda's pointing out. And over again in the epistles, you see that very thing. This warning about that. But what bothers me about this is, I hope I'm dead wrong, but I do know there are lazy preachers in the past. I know that. I can give you names. I'm not going to. They don't devote the work they ought to do to teaching. Oh, I don't have to worry about it. I'll go get AI. Fix me up a sermon on repentance. It might do you a pretty good sermon. Maybe better than your outline. If it's better than your outline, why not just do that? Why not? Huh? That's right. Examine everything carefully. You don't know if it's accurate or not. You do your own work. Then if you want AI to help you and make these kind of slides, well, good. You can make me some. But the point is, it doesn't replace the work that's necessary if you're going to be a teacher. What does James tell teachers in James 3? Do you remember? Don't be many teachers. Why? The power of the tongue. What you say can influence people. He's not telling, he's trying to discourage teaching. He's sending out warnings of the importance of it. And so, I'm out of time, so I'm not going to read the rest of the verses. I only got a few minutes left. I want to mention one thing that's on your sheet. You see that down on your sheet? School, college? I don't think your sheet has this, what I'm going to read to you now. I got this from David Watson. Of course, he's right there at A&M. And he had this in his notes. A&M guidelines. Others like a similar. Ethical guidelines at A&M. And he got the link. You can go look it up. It's there on your sheet. Well, I don't know if I put it on your sheet, but if you want it, I can get it for you. Biases in training data or algorithms lead to distorted and potentially harmful outcomes. Schools are at the forefront of this moral question. Is this plagiarism? Or is this the way we do things now? When using generative AI, users must acknowledge the use of non-trivial AI-generated content and avoid plagiarism. What is plagiarism? Getting somebody else's material and attributing it to yourself. High-profile people get in trouble about plagiarism. And he said, it is permissible to use AI for correcting spelling and grammar and formatting references, but not for generating new text. Going to A&M? There it is. That's their guideline. You want to generate new text, you go do the work. So I thought that was pretty interesting, especially with the body of young people that we have here that are considering somewhere in the future maybe being a student at A&M. All right, we've got a few minutes to look at this parental importance here. I just talked about careful study and plagiarism. We looked at that verse. The spiritual consequences, quick answers can mislead, and we looked at Matthew 12. Matthew 15:14. Does anybody remember what Jesus said? Anybody remember? Where's your buzzword that Josh keeps telling us to remember? Something about blind. There you go. The blind lead the blind. Both. Both. Falls in the ditch. See? Right. And so back there in Matthew 12, we saw where he told him, you better read. Correct. So, parents, be alert. So, AI has no morals. There's no soul. There's no answering to God or that kind of thing. AI is just a machine. I don't know if a machine is the right word or not. They call it a bot. But anyway, somebody's constructed to do certain things, way beyond me. But it's not a person with a soul answerable to God and have a moral standard. If I have whatever moral standard you want to give it, the idea. So, it can produce nudity, profanity, and lies. On your lesson here, I put that very thing that it can produce, you know, you see nude pictures of people going out, and it's not even their picture. Not even their picture, but their face is used, and that AI can put all that together and slander people that way and embezzle. Yes, sir?
Steve, you're talking about plagiarism, and something I've seen AI do is if the AI program presents an idea or makes an assertion, they typically have a citing of where they got that information. The AI doesn't typically just claim all this information and figure it out on its own. And I remember that being really frustrating when I was younger and, you know, having to put papers together, having to do the works cited page. But that's how you can avoid plagiarism, and that's also how you can be honest about where you come up with your information. And we were just talking about how we're presenting message on spiritual things. If you're citing Thayer or any of the other teachers, the inside of that, I appreciate how you do that. But far above any of that, if we can cite what the Bible says about it,
good. Excellent comment. Hope everybody heard Josh. Really good. That's right. I got a question, Mr. Craig Otter's back. When you entered that in ChatGPT, did it say this is the work of Steve Fontenot?
I said this is the material I have to use as reference.
Didn't use my name? Didn't he give me credit? My goodness. I'm glad. But anyway, but this is the point Josh is making, you know. If there's a reference to say, here's where we got this, go check that out. It's good. And if you need to quote a guy, it's okay. But say, I quoted so-and-so. Don't take the credit for it. I don't want any credit for this junk. Anybody can do this. But the point is, you may be getting some data that somebody worked up. It may be good. It may not be good. See? So, thank you, Josh. That was a great comment. And so we have here, look at 1 Timothy 5:14. How many of you mopped the house before you came today? It says right here in 1 Timothy 5:14, keep house. When's the last time you mopped your floors? Is that what that's talking about? No? What's it talking about? Younger women are to get married and keep house. Get married, bear children, and keep house. What is that? What?
King James says guide the house.
King James says guide the house. The King James Version any good?
It is.
It's a lot better on that verse. ASV says rule the household. NIV says manage their houses. ESV says manage their households. That's not about cleaning the floors and washing the dishes, although ladies ought to do that. That's not it. You need to know what's going on in your family. Where your domain. Woman has a domain. What are your children? When they get on that iPad or that phone or that computer, what are they seeing and hearing? No telling. You better find out. You want to be a parent? You want to be a woman like this that keeps control of her house? Or just throws it open? I don't care. I got things to do. So, parents, be alert. So, should AI give counsel, more instruction? Can children, they're encountering a problem in life? I'm going to go type in AI and get some advice for this problem. You want your children to do that? You imagine what they're going to get in this society? How do you avoid that? There's got a lot of good parents here. How do you avoid that?
Tell them how to go to the Bible for your answer.
Tell them to go to the Bible? How do you know they even got a problem? Stay in contact, conversation, and talking, and listening. When our oldest child, Celeste, was a young girl, she wanted to come home, she wanted to talk. Tell her about her day. And so Pat would listen. May not amount to a hill of things. She'd talk 2 hours without stopping. But it was just the idea of conversing, you know? And build that, because you need to know what's going on in their hearts and minds. What's bothering them? Because they can now get on that phone, iPad, their friends. I'm not giving them a phone, okay? Well, their friend has one. Yes, sir, Craig.
Yes, AI counseling up there. That's a big advertisement going on with AI. AI counseling. That is extremely dangerous. Even though it may have some ability to analyze and psychoanalyze, once you feed AI, remember that question you answered at the end, how does it sound to you? Well, that's how AI counseling is often geared, because they want who the counseling is to go to be something that's acceptable to them.
That's right.
Not a moral agent, or certainly not the Bible giving advice.
Yeah, the kid asks, is it okay to? And then ask a question about something they're thinking about experiment. Well, AI is going to try to go along that path. But you're wrong. I didn't put that AI council on there. Your thing put it on there. But anyway, that's a good point. So you'll notice on here, there are AI prayers. Yeah, you don't have to pray. You can go get you an AI prayer. Some machine to tell you what to pray. Isn't that great? So you don't have to let it be there flowing out of your heart and mind. Just get you an AI prayer, AI counseling, AI sermons. Boy, just think. You can get rid of me. Quit laughing. But they're doing that. And churches, some churches are actually experimenting with having ChatGPT sermons. So they're doing. And so, you like that last one? That's a fact. It was in the research. There is a woman, for example, claims she has a virtual husband. AI created. You say, that's stupid. Yeah, people are stupid. But it's intelligent, isn't it? I mean, after all, it's artificial. They didn't say artificial stupidity. Artificial intelligence. Yeah, boy. So, what is the responsibility of fathers? Let's see. Did I have that on the... That may be the last. There's two of them. What's that on this last one? I guess not. Okay. So what's the responsibility of fathers? Ephesians 6:4. It's on your lesson. Provide the beans, right? Be sure you got transportation and the air conditioner's on. Fix the leaks in the house. What is it?
Nurture.
What?
Nurture the children.
Train up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. No. That's why I got married, man. That's what my wife does. Really? Men, do you know what your children are looking at and reading? Do you know? And then we have mothers. We just read 1 Timothy 5:14. So parents, it's a lesson to parents as well. So anyway, thank you all so much for your really good comments tonight, and I appreciate it so much. I just thought it would be good, a good study before so many of these young people leave us, and then some will still be here, but doing research for school and papers and those kind of things. And so many of us have access to things like AI, know how to use it a lot better than I do. But so it can be a great tool. See, Craig's got me all fixed up now for my sermons. Just enter that. I'll send it to Craig, and he'll fix me up some slides. But anyway, appreciate so much your good comments and attention tonight. Anything else before we have our song and a prayer?